Well, tonight I've been wanting to teach on this for a while, and we're talking about revelation of the power to bless. And I couldn't possibly, you have a short teaching tonight, whatever that's supposed to mean. Okay, you got a few notes tonight, but you can also make some notes. And there's a lot of scriptures I could have put into this when we talk about the power to bless, but I've preached on it so many times in different titles and subject matters. But I want to go back to Genesis chapter 12 tonight. I really enjoy the story of Abraham, but there's some more stuff I found out, and every time I find something out, I just feel like I got to tell it to somebody. So we're reading from verse number 1, and it says, "Now the Lord said to Abram," what would you think if God spoke to you and gave you this message? "Get out of your country, from your family," or you could actually bring two words over and say, "Get out of your family, leave your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you." What would usually be our first response? "Could you show me first, Lord?" Okay. Verse 2. "I will make you a great nation." Who's doing the making here? It's God. What happens when we try to do the making? It gets messed up. So it's really important that we learn how to have faith, or we learn to develop our faith, and that we also develop our trust relationship, or our trust with the Lord. He says, "I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing." How many believe here that God wants us to be a blessing? Well, there's a specific context in being a blessing tonight that we're going to touch on in terms of the power to bless. But let's go on with verse number 3. He said, "I will bless those who bless you." Now, this is talking about God's people in Abraham. There's a covenant going on here. "I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you." Notice that it went from, "I will bless those, and I will curse him." Just thought I'd point that out. "And in you, all the families," and it's really not Abraham, so we're not going to worship Abraham, but it's in the covenant that God made with Abraham. He said, "All the families of the earth shall be blessed." Can I ask you today, are you a family of the earth? All right, some way or another, you're connected to a family in the earth, and also the fact that we are the body of Christ, so we've got a big family. And God said, in this covenant, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. Verse number 4. "So Abraham departed from the Lord." I'm sorry. "And Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him." So what did God say? "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house." And the first thing Abraham does is takes Lot with him. That's not what God said. But that's okay. Maybe he had compassion on Lot, or maybe he was just one of those relatives you couldn't get rid of. I don't know. Man, I'm preaching to somebody tonight. And Abraham was 75 years old when he started this journey on. "Man, we're going to pack up, Sarah, and we're going to go somewhere." "Where are we going?" "I don't have no idea. God just said go." And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abraham took Sarai, his wife, who later became Sarah, and Lot, his brother's son. You ever taken care of your family's kids? And sometimes they think that that means indefinitely. And all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran. And they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Of course, they didn't, there was a bit of a journey. So, all right. I want you to know tonight that if God were to speak that to any of us, and it's possible God is speaking that to someone in a milder way, let's don't uproot and move away, but it takes faith to hear the voice of God. It also takes faith to hear the voice of God when you hear something that's out of the ordinary of what your comfort zone is, what you're comfortable with. How many know that we develop comfort zones? We get comfortable with stuff, and it's like when God speaks, I don't want to let go of my comfort zone because it's really important to me. And it's important to do that, and so it takes a lot. It takes faith to obey God in a word like that. Abraham lived in a comfort zone, which was his country. And the word that I misspelled is in the next sentence in your notes. It says the word country comes from an unused root, or an unused root word, probably meaning, and this is right from your Strong's Concordance, to be firm. And it means the earth. That's what stuck out at me. It means at large or imperatively a land. And I asked God, when I found this out, I shared this with Barbara here at the office, and I asked God, why would you tell him to get out of the earth? Okay, if that's what it says in the Hebrew, if this is one of the meanings, then why would you say that? That couldn't possibly. I mean, it's not like Abraham had space rockets back then. And so we're going to put on a space suit, jump in a rocket, a spaceship, and get off the earth. Well, that's not what God was saying. And the Lord spoke to me almost just as quickly and said his surroundings had become his comfort zone. Earth for him, or his country, had become his comfort zone. And so many times what happens with believers is we can live in a comfort zone, and I'll name several comfort zones. There's multiple, I'm sure. But for example, we can live in the comfort zone of unbelief. What that means is we get comfortable always disbelieving or doubting. And God will speak to us in those places, trying to get us to wake up and trust His Word. How many of you, and you don't have to raise your hand, and I would just assume you didn't, but how many of you can just say within yourself, I've really had a difficult time trusting God's Word? When God will give me a scripture, some of you, I recently found someone who was really in a tough situation, and they were just playing with their Bible. You ever just flip through your Bible, just playing, and it fell open to a place, and God spoke a word to them. You know, that doesn't have to be just misfortune or a mishap type thing, but it can really be God, because we don't really know what to do and God's trying to get a word to us. It can be a word of prophecy, or it can be in deliberate study of the scriptures. It can be in a message, a sermon, and all of a sudden there's a verse that just jumps out at you, or a phrase in a verse that jumps out at you, and you say, man, that's just so profound, I just don't know if I can believe that. Well, of course, we're believers of God's Word, right? We believe everything from cover to cover. We never doubt God. We never mess up. We never do anything wrong. I mean, we are the perfect church. And if you're listening to this by CD around the world, then please understand that we're only perfected, made perfect in Jesus Christ. The Bible said He has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. So anyway, so that can be an area. A comfort zone. This is not a dictionary definition. This is what I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me. How many know that the dictionary sometimes can have man's input, man's theology, as it were, put into a definition? But I've had several definitions over the years of the Holy Spirit speaking to me. So here's what I got. A comfort zone is a surrounding or something you become comfortable with, something you learn to live with or settle for through a series of decisions that you make. So how many know we choose to be in unbelief? We choose to doubt God. We choose to say, I really can't accept that, God. We choose when a scripture is so powerful. I don't know about you, but scriptures jump out at me. I'm looking at a scripture, and of course, you know, I study all the time. But as I'm studying, I mean, I was sharing something recently about I really wasn't sure about a particular thing, and all of a sudden, as I was studying, revelation came, and I got really excited. That happens frequently around here. I got really excited, and sometimes that will happen. A word will come alive to you, and in your mind, you're thinking, I don't know if I can really grab a hold of that and run with that. Well, it's important that we take care of that. But that's what a comfort zone is, basically. It's a surrounding or something you become comfortable with, simple, something you learn to live with or settle for through a series of choices. Now, what I'm sharing with you about Abraham tonight, or Abram, rather, is not a word on, a prophetic word encouraging you to make a move away from here. Pick up your stuff and load them up and move to Beverly. It ain't none of that. It ain't none of that. But we're talking about what comfort zones are and things that God wants us to get out of. A comfort zone can be a habit of negative speaking. You ever caught yourself speaking negatively, just having a negative attitude, and negative words would come out of your mouth, and you almost didn't catch it because you were in such a habit of talking negatively. It was just a way of life. It became a comfort zone. All right? And so the Holy Spirit will point things out to us like that. God will let us know in His Word, and we'll hear a message that's about positive speaking, said that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and all of a sudden there's an inside of us, and it's not God, it's almost rebellion, saying, you know what, I've been so comfortable being negative, I don't know if I can really handle it. I'm supposed to just talk positive all the time. Well, when people say to me, Pastor, am I just supposed to talk positive all the time? I say, of course not. You can go around talking negative all the time. I mean, it's your choice. Just be as negative as you want to be, because you're having an effect on your life and your household and those that are around you. A comfort zone can be the choice to talk bad about others. It can become a way of life. I know entire churches, families, groups of people that it's nothing just to get together on a Sunday afternoon and just talk about folks and how bad they are and how much we don't like them and all the things we saw them do bad this week. And I've known churches, I've known church boards that have done that, and congregations, but I'm glad we're not like that. Amen? And so we can break these habits or these comfort zones, and we can make a turnaround in our lives. So just a comfort zone of the choice. And I try to include the word the choice here, the phrase the choice, because we do make choices as to what we do. For some, there are times when it seems easier to say something negative than it does to say something positive or to say something good about someone. I was raised, and I didn't always see this practiced, but I was raised, this was drilled into me, okay? Even if it wasn't practiced, this was drilled into me. If you don't have anything good to say about someone, don't say anything. Anybody raised that way? If you can't say something good about somebody, then just keep your mouth shut and don't say anything. But isn't it amazing, once we got born again and got righteous, we learned to use our mouths? And we just say whatever we want to. Why? I got the freedom. Jesus gave me the freedom. And it's true. When Jesus died on the cross, the one thing that was bought back or you were redeemed from was the curse of Satan being under bondage. And the truth is, you got your freedom back. Your freedom of speech, that didn't come with the amendments of the United States. That is something that God gave you. You have the freedom and the right to say what you want to. However, just because it's your freedom doesn't always mean it's right to say some things. So that can become a comfort zone for some folks, just saying negative things. But God wants to move us out of our comfort zones, and by doing that, His intention is for us to move forward into the place that He's calling us to. He was calling Abram and his family to another place, to a better place, to better things. After all, God had just renamed him, or was about to rename him, and called him the father of many, or as we know him by, the father of many nations. Here's another area that we might want to recognize. There can be things from your past. I particularly dealt with some situations this week with some folks. There can be things from your past, personalities that are developed during your upbringing. You know, one thing, you all, I'm glad you know me and have grace in knowing me and Faye and I, but you don't know the Hanshew family. And Hanshew family, if you hear this CD, then, you know, just pay attention. But you don't know the Hanshew family. For years, the rap that I got was, well, it's just that Hanshew personality. Well, how many know our family lines have personalities? And how many know that a lot of times those are the things we run away from, that we don't appreciate? And we will grow as we're growing up. If someone were to ask you then, what do you want to be when you grow up? I think the answer would be anything other than like them. But it is an amazing, for a long season, we keep being like them and we don't get it, because we're blind to the fact that we just hadn't changed yet until there's another occasion to see what's being practiced. Man, I'm getting in deep water. So there's personalities that develop during our upbringing. Habits that we've learned from those we keep company with. In a sense, in a human sense, can be easy that if we're hanging out with people that we really shouldn't hang out with, that if there's things they do and we don't learn to say, that's not for me, then what happens is we get to feeling more comfortable with what is a comfort zone for them, and pretty soon we move on over into their comfort zone, and we say, after all, there's grace and there's no condemnation. I can do anything I want to. And that is a true statement. But still, there's a remedy in the Scriptures for that. And so we've taught on that recently. All right, so those are just some things. Now, the first thing God said in verse 1, and we're basically going to deal with just a couple of verses. God said to Abram, get out of your country. That's a pretty stiff word. Get out of your country. And some folks don't mind. You know, Faye and I guess in a sense, God was leading us, even though we didn't know that in 1979 when we chose to leave the state of California after pastoring two churches in our denomination that we were raised in, and came here and pastored one more, and then about 30 years ago moved us out of our denomination into somewhat what we're doing today, but with more knowledge, praise the Lord. And so God said, get out of your country. So it wasn't so hard to get out of our state. How many ever moved from one state to the next? Okay. You know, one of the hardest things for some folks is the next thing that God told Abram was to get away from your family. I think, if I remember the storyline properly, Abraham also took his father-in-law, or was it his father? Anybody know? And they buried him in a near city. He didn't make it too far. And then with Lot, there became a division in the family. Lot decided to go his own way, ended up in Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abram ended up rescuing him. And that's not the story we're on tonight, but it kind of just gives you a bit of a refreshing. And so, and then the third thing God said was to get away from your father's house. How many know there was a day we had to grow up and get away from our father's house, under our father's roof? I am the oldest of six children. I am the only one that never moved back home. I left, got married, and was in the ministry. And I don't say that to belittle any of my siblings. I'm just saying that this is something we want to be careful of, is our attachments. And sometimes we've got to move away from our kin. Jesus said no one has left his father and mother and brother and sister and houses and lands that he will not, you know, it's not like when you lose something or let go of something that you're just left with nothing. God always gives you something better, something more satisfying. All right? And so sometimes we got to do that in order to move forward with what God has for us to do. If your kin comes from a line of negative thinkers and negative talkers, it doesn't mean we hate our family. That just doesn't fly. We don't hate our family, and we hang around them as often as we can. But it's okay if we go another direction for God. I am the only one in my family that's gone this direction. Everybody else is in an old-time direction. And that's okay. Everybody can do what they want to. They can receive and understand God the best that they can. However, I remember 30 years ago, 31 years ago, when we would come home from church on a Sunday morning and Sunday night, and I've told this to some privately. I don't know if I've told it openly, but I remember what happened to me. I remember that Faye and the kids would go to bed, and I would stay up late, 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, flipping through the TV channels, trying to find somebody preaching to speak a word to me. I mean, you got to understand, I was pastoring a church of 135, bus ministry, jail ministry, visitation ministry, hospital ministry. I had to be the ramrod of all of it, involuntarily inducted into those jobs. But the point is, I just knew there was more. How could you preach, go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and still go home empty and being the preacher? Didn't even feed myself. I was hungry for more. So I knew there was more 30 years ago. And so I would flip through the channels and say, okay, you know, I bear witness of what I'm hearing here. I'd flip somewhere else and say, you know what, God just ain't even in that. I was hungry. Well, that started a journey of revelation for me, and it caused me to move out of my country, which was my denomination. I had to let go. Do you know what happened over time? I also had to cut some strings. Do you know why it's important to cut strings? I said that a couple of weeks ago, but I want to tell you today why it's important. Because strings keep you tied to something. And until you cut those strings, you can't be free to move into what God has for you. And so I don't know where I'm going. I just know that I'm on my way. Praise the Lord. All right, so sometimes when we're around negative thinkers, negative talkers, we just got to cut some strings and move forward. When God told Abram to get away from his father's house, he was literally saying to get out from your earthly father's covering and become a man who is responsible for his own decisions and become one who is only going to follow God's direction. It's important that we follow God's direction. I don't always know God's direction. And Faye doesn't always know God's direction. Sometimes we find it together. Sometimes God speaks to us individually. Sometimes we have to get counsel to know that the best course of action. And in that, we find God's direction. But in that process, we got to be willing to hear God's voice and be responsible for our own decisions. How many know if you make decisions and you mess up, be responsible for your decisions? All right, don't blame everybody else. Number two, verse two rather. God said, I will make you a great nation. Notice that God didn't say to Abraham, I'm going to make you just some little, you're going to go to some other country and I'm going to set up your own little kingdom and that's going to be the end of the story for you. How many know that we don't, you know, someone told me not too long ago, and I want to speak a word to this congregation. Not everyone is here tonight, but I still want to speak this word. I was told that I needed to discover my Jewish roots. Well, let me tell you something about my Jewish roots. Here's how far back my Jewish roots go. If I'm going to discover Jewish roots, and I'm going to have to go back to Abraham, and Abraham is the father of us all. We are the seed of Abraham, but it's only through Jesus Christ. But if I'm going to have to find my roots, I got to go all the way back to Adam and Eve, who are really the parents of this whole thing. Now, how many know there was a lot of folks that died off in the flood? Everyone but Noah and his family. But still, we got to search a long way. So when I say that we are only the seed of Abraham through Jesus Christ, what I'm telling you, and I want you to hear this, that's the end of my roots right there. Or that's the start of my roots, Jesus Christ. I'm not searching any further. I'm not interested in any further. I praise God for Israel. I pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I thank God for what for all the things in His Word. But Jesus is my roots. He's my brother. And He said, I'm His brother and you're His sisters and we're His family. And so I think that's really important. So God said, I'm going to make you a great nation. But here's something God said that is a word to Abraham, but Abraham is not to be worshipped in this. God said, I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Remember what He said in the next verse, and we're not going to highlight on this, but He said, I'll bless those that bless you and curse him who curses you. And that is started with Abraham. I believe that may be a word to the nation of Israel, but I want to tell you that we don't worship Abraham because of that. We worship Jesus Christ. There's one way to get to God. There's not two ways. There's not 10 ways. There's not a bunch of religions. Now there are religions. There's a new religion that has formed where we don't want to be offensive to Muslim countries and we don't want to be offensive to people who do not name the name of Christ. So we want to walk soft. Well, it might as well be just a seeker sensitive religion. And we want to be careful not to offend anybody. Well, I don't want to offend anybody either. But if the name of Jesus upsets you, then get upset. You know what's the worst? Well, let me not even go there. All right, so it's just important to know that. All right, so he said a couple of things here that stood out to me. He said, I will make you a great nation. But this phrase, he said, I will bless you, make your name great, but I will bless you. And he also said, and you shall be a blessing. So keep this in mind. When God chose to bless Abram and to make him the father of many nations, God started with Abraham's identity of himself. Now, I know I've preached on this before, but it's good to hear it again and again, and we'll just talk about it just for a couple of minutes. And by changing his identity, what he did is he changed his name from Abram, father of height, or one who is lofty, to Abraham, father of a multiple. So God could, he did that so he could change the way Abraham talked about himself. I want to talk to you tonight about what you say about yourself and what you say about others. This is not a message of scolding. So smile at me, because the Bible says a merry heart, in a sense, I gave you the literal translation, makes the word go down easier. It makes the medicine go down easier. And so, but when God did this, he wanted Abraham to talk differently about himself. Do you know what else happened? Others started talking differently about Abraham, because every time they said Abraham, they were calling him literally father of many, or father of many nations. And so how many know it probably took time for Abraham to catch on and see himself differently? But don't you know that after God spoke that and his name became Abraham, and Sarai became Sarah, a princess, don't you know that they begin to see themselves differently after a time? People are calling them names that have Hebrew meanings, and they begin to think, okay, that begin to get into their thinking, and they begin to literally see themselves different. Well, God wants us to see ourselves differently. When God changed the meaning of Abraham's name, it began to impact his thinking. God may not change your name until you get to glory, but here's a revelation. Here's something that's important. What God wants you to do is see your identity in Jesus Christ. If you can see your identity in Jesus Christ and see what God says about you, what God thinks about you, don't you think you could think differently about yourself? But that's not the hardest part. That in some ways is the easiest part. The hardest part is when you start thinking differently about other people. Now, when you start thinking differently about yourself and other people, there's something that goes along with that, and that's what you say out of your mouth. You ever called yourself a dummy? You probably heard that somewhere. Most folks in their families growing up, you're a dummy. You'll never amount to anything. You're never going to be a success. And we allowed that because we didn't know better. We allowed that to form an identity in us. As a matter of fact, it became something we always ran to if we got a little bit out. Okay, that was our comfort zone. But what God began to do is begin to send us to churches and places where we started hearing the Word of God, and Bible studies and home meetings, and going to Kenneth Hagin's camp meeting and Kenneth Copeland's meetings and some of these other places, and we started watching them on television and radio broadcasts, and somebody would give us CDs, and maybe some of you was 8-tracks or reel-to-reel. You know, we've had some of that too. And so you started hearing some stuff that wasn't like what you was raised in, that wasn't like what became your comfort zone, and you begin to branch out and say, man, if God thinks that about me, probably the first question was, does God really think that about me? And then it probably became, if God really thinks that about me, then I should be able to believe that about myself. I mean, if God calls me the righteousness of God in Christ, I am the righteousness of God in Christ through Christ Jesus. I mean, if God says that he'll supply all my need, if God says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, if God says greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world, and that's how God sees me, as one who is seated in Christ Jesus, then we ought to be able to start seeing ourselves differently and speaking differently about ourselves. And so what happens then is when we start to say some of that negative stuff that we didn't realize was still buried in there in our thinking, and here it came, we almost want to reach out, as the words are protruding out of our mouth, we almost want to reach out and grab that and shove it right back in. I told you one time, if you have that big a problem with negative speaking, just get some duct tape and close it up. I know it's a little tough to get off, but get some good sticky kind. The skin may come with it. Maybe an object lesson. No, please don't nobody do that. We want you in church on Sunday. And so it began to impact Abraham's thinking. And he saw himself differently. And began to speak about himself differently. And it was something that he wasn't really used to. You know, the first time you said, I am the righteousness of God in Christ, it probably wasn't deep-rooted inside. You just heard somebody else say it, and somebody say you ought to say it, and probably somebody led you in a confession. You said, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. And you went home all week saying, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. But at some point you thought, you know, I really don't get it. But you kept saying it anyway because it sounded good, and I can identify with the church I'm now attending. And so I just kept on saying it. And then after a while, you begin to notice that you were thinking differently. Why? You kept hearing it. You kept hearing it over and over and over. Do you know there was a day when we first started 30 years ago, and for probably the first 10 years, I carried around stacks of papers of scripture confessions. And I mean, so many that I got to where I couldn't carry them with me. And I still have them in a file somewhere. Now I've learned to say the word of God. But I mean, you do that. You know, it's like when you're at home and sickness has come against your body. The first thing that happens is there's a symptom, right? Okay, and you've heard me, you've seen me write about this and teach on this, but a symptom is not the sickness. The doctor does not ask you, what sickness do you have? If the doctor were to ask you what sickness you have, you would be a doctor collaborating with another doctor. Okay, but that's not what he asks. He asks, what are the symptoms you're having? Because the symptom is not the sickness. Here's what the symptom is. The symptom is the lie from the enemy, and it is the temptation to receive and accept what the enemy's telling you. Okay, so you have a choice. Well, if you've been going around saying, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus, someone told me, I asked someone recently what they thought about a relationship with God was, and they said these words to me. It means somebody I can run to when there's trouble. Now, I don't slight them for that. That's all they were raised to know. But the truth is, God is not somebody you just run to with only when there's trouble. If that's all the understanding you have, then here's what my advice would be. Run to God when there's trouble, okay? Call on Him. But learn that you can have a day-to-day, and not just a day-by-day, but can I say it this way, and this will be the first time in my ministry in almost 40 years I've said it this way. You can have a breath-by-breath experience with God. That's the kind of experience. Because see, on Sundays, we're teaching on clothed in glory. And man, Sunday, we got some stuff this Sunday. But we're talking about clothed in glory, and we're talking about how Adam had a daily visitation from God, and God doesn't want us to have a visitation. God wants a moment-by-moment or a breath-by-breath relationship or fellowship with Him. Praise the Lord. And so when you've learned, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus, and all the scriptures that you have compiled by that, and I do encourage you to take your healing scriptures and your prosperity scriptures and your grace and your favor scriptures, and don't forget to cap it all off with Isaiah 54:17, that if any word has been risen against you in judgment, words, I always say this, that are known and unknown, because I might not know what someone's saying about me. I'm not mad at them for saying it. The truth is, I'm just going to take care of the words. It's not about the people that are saying it anyway. It's about the words. We're stopping words. And so we say that no weapon formed against me will prosper. Every word, known and unknown, that rises against me in judgment to condemn me, to put me down. I condemn those words. I call those words to nothing, because this is my heritage as the servant of the Lord. And my righteousness is of Him. I'll tell you what, for an Old Testament verse, that's one of the most powerful ones. There may be a lot of them we could debate on tonight, but that's just one of the most powerful ones for me. Isaiah 54:17. I like Isaiah 53:5 as well, but 4 and 5. But anyway, and so we need to begin to see what God sees. I was thinking about, I can't help but share with you the humorous moments I have with God. When I was writing, going over my notes this evening, I wrote down, when you begin to see what God sees, and all that jumped out of that means see what God sees. And I thought of the Christmas song, when you see what God sees. So I know at some point I got to write words to that. So when you begin to see what God sees, you begin to think like God thinks. The first religious thing you'll run into is Isaiah 55:11, that I think it's 11, that tells us that His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and His ways are not our ways, and we start thinking with the mentality that, as we've been taught to, that we can never think like God, and we can never be like God, and we can never know what God knows, and we'll listen to that from an Old Covenant perspective, or even from a religious perspective, but not from a New Covenant perspective. We're New Covenant believers, amen? We love the Old Covenant. We love what, all the stuff that happened. We respect that. But the truth is, that's not where we are. We are not under law. We are under grace. And you could say it this way. We are under favor, because grace is favor. We are under favor. So thank God for His favor. I don't know if I told you this lately, but just so you know it, I'm God's favorite. Just wanted to tell you that. I think of that every time I think about favor. Say this with me. I have supernatural favor. I have supernatural results from a supernatural God. Praise the Lord. And so we begin to think like God thinks, and we begin to talk like God talks. How do we do that? We do it through obtaining or taking the knowledge of God's Word, the Scriptures. To make the necessary changes in your life, I think this is important. You've got to change the way you think and the way you talk by choosing to change what you've been hearing from those you've been listening to. I am so quick. I try to be quick. I'll give myself room for error. I try to be quick to shut down or separate myself from negative speaking. If someone's just, you all know the story. I've separated myself from many ministers just because I didn't want to sit around here trash talk all morning over coffee. We're going to glorify God. If we don't want to glorify God, then I got to go someplace. I'll get by myself and glorify God, but I got to glorify God. Okay? And we, if we want to say praise Satan, then go join a Satanist group somewhere and whatever, you know. Sorry if that's too bold, but that's how I feel. So we got to choose to change what we've been hearing from those we've been listening to. So God said, I will bless you, make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. In your Strong's Concordance, there's a whole bunch of words, and I've kind of put this together, but I believe I've caught the essence of the meaning enough that I could put it in your notes. In the Strong's Concordance, it says, basically, by being one who will bless God. When he said, I will bless you, there really was a different, a duality of meaning there. He said that by being one who will bless God, you say, well, that's not what it says. Well, I said there was a duality of meaning, a one who will bless God as an act of adoration so that there can be a vice versa from God toward me, a lifting of the veil type of thing, in that God will bless those who bless, God will bless those who bless God through Abraham. Now, what that means is if you're one who's willing to give adoration to God, if you're one who is willing to bless God, you're one who is willing to give thanksgiving. And remember, we researched the word thanksgiving, and we found that the word thanksgiving, even in the New Covenant, means to use actual grateful language. And, I find that amazing. Some folks would read that and get out to Strong's Concordance and say, I got to use actual grateful language when I'm giving thanksgiving to God. And it's like, I can't do that. Why? Unbelief. I'm in a comfort zone. All right? And so what this means then is I will give adoration to God and I will worship God. God, there'll be a vice versa effect. God will bless me. It's from God to man. That was the covenant that God made with Abraham, was from God to Abraham. Praise the Lord. All right? And so he also said that, he said, you shall be a blessing. Well, to become a blessing, we've got to understand that this word blessing, even in the Hebrew, in your Strong's Concordance, means prosperity. So to become a blessing, it means that God wants to prosper you. Now, there are those who say, yes, I believe in prosperity, but go home and say everything other than prosperity. Why is that? Because I really don't believe in prosperity. I really don't believe God wants to prosper me. I really don't believe God wants us to be blessed. You know, there's a nation in the world that God wants to be the most blessed nation that there is. And we always say that's America. And we watch America rise and fall and up and down. And right now it seems to be in a mess. But we're not part of the world system. Amen? We're part of God's system, the kingdom of God. I believe that the Christian people of the world are to be the most blessed nation in the world. And that goes worldwide. All right? But so God wants to prosper us. Well, God's purpose behind prospering you. And it may be it took me years to understand this, but I want to share with you what little bit of knowledge that I have about it. And that's that God's purpose behind prospering you is so that you can become a blessing to others. Do you know one of the first things we say? I think all couples have said this at some point in time, or all individuals, and that is, I want to be prospered. I want to be blessed so that I can take care of my own stuff. Pay off all my debt and live securely for the rest of my life. That is a part of it, but that's not the end of prosperity. God wants to prosper you so that you can be a blessing to others. So I think that it's important to be, say, look, God, hey, pour it on me. You know, there was a pastor I talked to not too long ago, and he said he was preaching a meeting in this rather large church, and the pastor had him drive a car, and it was a pretty nice car, and he tried to do everything he could to talk his way out of just driving that one car. The pastor wanted to bless this minister. And he said, the Spirit of God spoke to him and said, if you just shut up long enough, I'll bless you. Just let me bless you. You know, God wants to bless us. And so, God, I don't want you just to bless me so I can hoard it up. I want you to bless me, number one, so that your name will be great and everything I do will be to exalt you. But also, I want to be a blessing. How many of you want to be a blessing to folks? Well, because you want to be a blessing to folks, God wants to give money to you, and that's already promised in the Word of God in the New Covenant, and so God wants us to do that. All right, and this is not a gimme, gimme, and gimme some more type scenario. It is God wanting to bless us. So how does God prosper you? We're talking about revelation of the power to bless. Well, this is one of the first things that God brought to my mind, and I want to share it with you. This is just some good advice, and it may be a blessing to you, and it may not. If it's not, then you just throw it aside and don't worry about it. I'm on three social networks. I enjoy what I do there, but it's very important to me that I maintain my witness, even with my words. I hear a lot of stuff. I see a lot. I say hear, but I read a lot of stuff, and some stuff I know where that comes from, and I wish it didn't sometimes. But oftentimes, people will hear your heart by listening or reading the words that you speak. And so, it's important to me to protect my witness. So, people hear my witness as a Christian, but that's not where it stops for me. They also hear my witness as a minister. So, the stuff I choose to get involved with, you know, I ignore, don't get mad at me, okay? I'm not talking to God, by the way. I choose to ignore relatives getting hooked up in family tree stuff. I mean, you can do that, but I'm all about the Word of God. That's my purpose for these social networks, and it's I'm not criticizing that. You can do that. Do that. You know, be involved with your family. It's just that for me, I only have so much time to give to that, and so it's very important the content that I leave there, that I'm leaving a message to family and friends and new future friends. And so what comes out of my mouth by my words is very important to me. My mouth holds in it the power to bless. But did you know that in my mouth also is the power to curse? And I can do either one. Remember what God said to us in Deuteronomy? He said that, he said, I've set before you blessing and cursing and life and death. And I wish God would have just put in there, it would have been translated into the English. I'm not sure what it says in the Hebrew. And that God would have said, let me give you a clue. Choose life. And so we can choose blessing or cursing. You know what the Bible said, the counterpart of that in James? James said that blessing and cursing comes out of our mouths. And he said, it should not be that way. It should not be that one or the other comes out of the same container. And so that's important to me. So everything I speak releases a blessing to someone or releases a curse to someone. Well, I may not have this all whipped yet, but what I'm working on is to make sure that the words that I write on these social networks never present condemnation to anybody. Never present that I'm putting someone down or condemning them because they don't see the Word of God the way I do. There's others that don't see the Word of God like me, and that's okay. I just won't argue about it. Do you know I get text messages and emails, and people want to start a scriptural dialogue on why they disagree with what I'm saying? Do you know what I do? Ignore it. I choose not to engage. I'm just going to write another devotion and put it out there. I choose not to engage. It doesn't bless the Lord, and it is absolutely a waste of my time, and it's a waste of your time. So the power to bless comes by the words of your mouth. What do you believe, and what are you saying about your loved ones every day? Well, you know what? My loved ones are just no good. And I wouldn't dare waste my time speaking a blessing over them. God wouldn't even bless them. I remember staying at my son's, Faye and I, when I preached out of town here a few weeks ago. And I said this jokingly, and he knew it was jokingly, but I had my wireless laptop, had my cell phone. And he is so far back in the sticks, there's no cell phone reception. You know, 4 email accounts come to my cell phone, and all my social networks come to my cell phone, and my laptop to study my notes so I could send them to his pastor's church and get them printed. And I'm telling you, and I said, son, are you sure that God even knows you live out here? No Wi-Fi, man, what's the deal? Well, we know that God does live out there, and maybe sometimes there are seasons where that's better for us. But what are you saying about your loved ones? You say, well, what does it matter? Well, it's important that you bless your loved ones. You say, well, I don't agree with my loved ones. Well, that's another reason why you ought to bless your loved ones. Well, you know what? I got some loved ones that are just heathens. Man, do they need a blessing. Because see, what we fail to get is that Jesus did not die for the church. I know that won't preach in some places, but Jesus didn't come to die for the church. The Bible said that God so loved the world. And that's the whole world. And that's those who... He and God intends for all to become born again. The Bible said that God is not slack concerning His promise, but He desires that all be born again, that all come to Christ, even though some have chosen not to, and that's their choice. But God loves all. And so the Bible said in James, I was mentioning a moment ago, He said that we speak blessing or cursing, and He said we speak it toward those who are made in the King James after the symbol, which means likeness of God. Okay, so let me just say this. Was only the church created in the likeness of God? No, all mankind was created in the likeness of God. So you ought to bless. So in a sense, blessing those heathen relatives you have, and in a sense, blessing those relatives that are religious and that shut you down every time you bring up a scripture, you know, you ought to bless them because you are blessing God's creation. Did you know in the book of Genesis chapter 1 that God blessed His creation? And in chapter 2, again, He blessed His creation. He looked on all of His creation and He blessed His creation. He blessed Adam and Eve, He blessed him. Even knowing the outcome of man, God blessed His creation. And God blesses you. God's blessing is on you. God says nothing but good about you. Well, how do you know that, Pastor? Well, I read about you in here. If you read the Word of God and you're thinking about someone and you're into that hellfire and brimstone, wrath and condemnation stuff, you're reading it wrong. Plus, you're judging others. So there's some rules. They're not stringent, but there's some rules. And it's just a simple act of, I love Jesus and that's why I obey. We don't obey because we're forced to obey. We don't serve a God that forces us to obey. I've heard stories of how God will put people in situations and make them obey. Well, those weren't good stories. The devil made somebody think that it was God doing the mean stuff, but God's not mean. And if you're going to talk about God being mean, you're talking about my Father, and we got issues. My Father is a loving God. So it's important that we bless even our relatives that we don't get along with so well, that we only see once a year, we ought to bless them. Well, let me share this with you. It is said that in Jewish homes, Jewish families will get together on Friday evenings. Now, you don't have to wait till Friday evening to do this, okay? If you do it on Friday evenings and that is your religious time to do it, then you just went back under the law. And the law voids faith. Hebrews chapter 4. All right? But what they would do is the father on Friday evenings would gather all the children around and lay his hands on them and pronounce God's blessings over them. And you know, as a result of that, do you know the man that invented Facebook is a Jewish man? Did you know that many of them grew up to become some of the world's greatest inventors, bankers, musicians, and entertainers? And to date, here's what I was told. To date, it is said that Jews have produced a greater number of Nobel Prize winners than any other race. Whether that's true or not, I would just say this would be the reason, because they gather together weekly and pronounce a blessing on their family. Now, maybe they really didn't understand the blessing except the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We understand the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Now, let me ask you, where are you seated in Christ? Well, I know that there's a throne involved, and I know that Jesus is kind of like, I think he's on the right hand, might be the left. No, he's on the right hand. Where do you think that is? In heavenly places, okay? So he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. So recognizing your identity in Christ, being seated in Christ, I have access to everything in heavenly places. Amen. You say, well, where's heaven? Well, I don't know. Haven't been there. Someone told me just the other day, said, you know what, we ought to be praying. I mean, this is just like maybe 7 days ago. We ought to be praying, come Lord Jesus, come. I said, don't be praying that around me. Just go pray it somewhere else. I'm not praying, come Lord Jesus. I ain't done yet. And then, you know, if he wants to interrupt me in the middle of my message, then come Lord Jesus. But, you know, I've got some more stuff to do. All right, so, here's what I learned in this, is that it all began with God blessing his creation from the foundations of the earth, but it was followed by people like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who continued the flow of releasing God's blessings on their children by laying hands on them and speaking blessings over them. How many know we ought to lay hands on our children? We ought to bless our children. And if we're not around our children or our families who have caused us misery at times, you know what? We ought to bless them. When you pray, bless them. And so when you pray in the mornings and you're thinking about all the things you pray about, all the things you pronounce every day, think about including your family. Well, sure, Lord, they all live in my house. I'm talking about even the ones that don't live in your house, the extended ones. In the New Testament, the apostles pronounced blessings over the churches they were preaching to. I think that's pretty cool that we do that here. Just to give you a few scriptures, and I did there, the church of Philippi, Paul declared in Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know what he's trying to do? He's trying to build their faith. Say, look, if you put your faith in the earth's economy, you're going to get let down, or you could possibly get let down. But if you put your faith in God's economy, you're never going to get let down. And so you say, well, I've really tried to do that. I've really tried to use that scripture. But man, when I had a hard time, I mean, it really got tough. I felt it hard, it difficult to open my mouth and say, my God supplies all my needs, when I know good and well my needs are not supplied. Well, you're looking in the natural, and while you got to deal with the natural, and God will give you wisdom to deal with the natural, amen? And how many know this? You have wisdom. I know James said to pray for wisdom. I got an issue with James over that, because Jesus has been become unto me wisdom and righteousness and justification, all those things. So I have kind of been leaning on that more. Jesus, you become... Every time I start to pray for wisdom, and that's a lot of years of habit... Okay, it at one time was a comfort zone, pray for wisdom. Okay, God, I don't have any wisdom. Well, that's not true. I mean, you all are smart people. You've lived however many years you're on this earth, and you've learned some things, so you've got some wisdom. And so to pray, God, I ain't got no wisdom. Well, that's really not smart. As a matter of fact, that really isn't even in line with God's word. However, I've moved from asking for wisdom to thanking God that Jesus has become wisdom, and so I am filled with the wisdom of God because Jesus lives on the inside of me. Praise the Lord. And so we can declare that, my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. What I was saying earlier about when the temptation of symptoms come to accept sickness, if you have trained yourself to declare, to say, I am healed by the stripes of Jesus, I believe, here's a pain that is really believable. Have you ever had a pain or a difficult, a symptom that was really believable? Like, whoa, baby, that's believable. But I believe, more than what this is trying to get me to believe I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. And I want to tell you, there is no symptom, there is nothing that moved beyond symptom and you let it in and it got there and you became sick. There is no family disease, no gene that carries any kind of thing that make you sick or bring a disease on, or that carries anything from your extended family history. There is nothing that believing and declaring, I believe I am healed by the stripes of Jesus, that it cannot cover. The stripes of Jesus covers all sicknesses, praise the Lord. And so concerning your finances, because it seems like that's the area we attack most, is the sickness thing. Okay, we're good at that, we believe that, but sometimes when we're laid up for a day or two, it's like, well, this thing's getting really believable. I urge you, I encourage you to declare out of your mouth, in spite of what symptoms you have right now, body, I believe you are healed by the stripes of Jesus. Come in line with the Word of God. Well, if that has become easier for you of all the things that there is, then you have to go ahead and press on in your financial area and declare, my God supplies all my need. It may not look like it right now, and man, sometimes it don't feel like it, but I declare, I believe that my God supplies all my need according to His riches and glory. We're talking about the power to bless, and it's in you and I. How many knows if we're not saying what God says and we're saying something else, then we're exercising our right to release the power to curse? And I told you, and we could do this, we could sit around and have a curse session. I don't mean cuss words. And we just talk about how bad it is. You know, there's church groups that do that. We just talk about how bad it is, and nothing ever works. I mean, the church ought to be full by now. It's just been a few years, but the church ought to be, this thing ought to be, and just how bad it is. And I just don't understand. And we just have we're just bringing a curse on ourselves. But when we say what God says, we're bringing a blessing on ourselves. How many know that Jesus only speaks what the Father says? Then we ought to speak what He says as well. All right, and then in 3 John 1 verse 2, John released a powerful blessing over Gaius when he said, "Beloved, I pray." The King James says, I earnestly desire. I pray that you may prosper in how many things? In all things, and here's some more, be in health, just as your souls prosper. Well, you know what I said to the Lord just this week? I said, Lord, you know, we're learning the Word of God. Our souls are prospering. There is no reason why this other stuff doesn't work all the time, 24/7. Because you know what, God, I heard Jeremy Pearson's talking about this. God doesn't want us just to have life, but Jesus said He came to give us abundant life. And so that scripture that we confess over our offering is that God wants to abundantly supply our needs. Now, if God wants to abundantly supply my needs and the work of Jesus is finished, then why aren't my needs abundantly supplied? Here's what I say. Go back to square one and say, I thank you, Lord, that you supply all my need according to your riches and glory. Okay, the crunch is on. I told someone recently, when you feel that pressure to be moved from your position of faith, just keep on saying the same thing. I believe that you supply all my need according to your riches and glory. All right, so he said, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul has prospered. And then in Mark chapter 7, Jesus pronounced a blessing of deliverance. A blessing of deliverance. Isn't deliverance one of the words we find in Ephesians 2:8 in our sozo salvation package? Deliverance. We have deliverance for anything we need. We can. And here's what that means to me, is I have the right in Christ Jesus to speak a word of deliverance and see a manifestation come. Well, there Jesus pronounced a blessing of deliverance on the daughter of the Syrophoenician woman in Mark 7:29 and said, "Go your way, the demon has gone out of your daughter." Jesus didn't lay hands on the child. Jesus didn't go to the house where the child was. He just spoke a blessing. And this was a blessing of deliverance by proxy. What that means is that the daughter didn't have to be present to receive the benefit. So that means your family, the extended family, your friends that don't live in your household, you can speak a blessing over them by proxy. Well, Pastor, some of them, I think, need deliverance. Maybe some of them were in deliverance. I don't know. Someone said that to me just the other day. Well, here's what I would say to you. If you really think there's a deliverance issue there, then you can speak a word of deliverance and see God move in their lives. The woman took it by faith. Now, she didn't speak it to the child, the person that wasn't present. She spoke it to the one that was present. And so Jesus is speaking to us from His Word. And since you're present, you can take it by faith and you can release that for a loved one. And the Bible said that healing came to this daughter. When she got home, the child was well. In Matthew 8, the centurion took the blessing by faith, and healing came on his servant when he got back home. You know the story. It said the centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed." Other translations say, "Only speak a word, and I know my servant will be healed." Well, imagine tonight, we have one more scripture to read. Well, really just a closing, not a scripture. Imagine tonight, Jesus appeared to us, literally, and Jesus spoke a word. What if Jesus appeared, stood right here in front, and Jesus looked at y'all right in the eyes and said, "Be healed," or "Healing be"? Would you take it? Take it and run with it. It's mine. He gave it to me. I'm not getting rid of it. Do you realize that Jesus has spoken to you? He has spoken to us in His Word, and one of the words we've been talking about is the word "take." When we receive by faith, the word "receive" means to take or to grab hold of, and so we grab hold of, we take as if we become the owners of that word. Well, did God bless us? God has blessed us. I'm telling you, there has been such blessing released through the finished work of Jesus that we're still discovering it. But we have been blessed. A blessing has been pronounced on us. I don't have a Jewish family. I'm not Jewish. Sometimes I'm not sure I'm Gentile, but if you're not Jew, you're probably Gentile. And so whatever that you are, I know this, that whether you're bond or free or Greek or Jew, whatever, Ozarkian, Californian, a New Yorker, it doesn't really make any difference. God has blessed us through the finished work of Jesus Christ. All you got to do is take the word by faith, receive it, and don't let go of it. Because I can tell you that the first battle that you will have is the enemy will come to try to steal the word. How does he come to steal the word? Well, it's not just the lie, but there's a purpose for the lie, to get you to say something that's the opposite. So you're all keyed up. I got it. I got it, Lord. And I'm just going to speak blessing. Nothing's going to come out of my mouth but blessing. And here comes that little lie, that pressure. We're going to learn what that means Sunday. But here comes that pressure. And what the pressure is trying to do is get me to say, I'm not blessed. I'm not healed. I've had people actually say this. If I was really healed, if God had really healed me, there'd be a manifestation in my body. Well, if you keep talking that way, I had to tell someone just today that the reason why you keep getting what you're getting is because you keep saying what you've been saying. Change what you're saying. So God wants us to break out of comfort zones of hurts. Did you know hurts can become comfort zones? I'm comfortable here. People will actually say this to you, this is my space, don't come in. Well, that's what they've been schooled to think psychologically, or by psychology. All right, so God wants us to break out of our comfort zones of hurts, comfort zones of insecurities, comfort zones of circumstances. We get used to having circumstances, and it's almost like, man, this is where I live. This feels comfortable to me. I could never be comfortable there. Comfort zones of struggles. And we break out of them by learning to bless not only ourselves, but to bless others. Here's what you can do, and I'll just give you a couple of pointers. You can make up your own stuff if you don't have scripture confessions. You have a Bible. Dust it off. Break the crinkly pages apart because it's brand new. And it's okay. It's not a sin to mark in your Bible and highlight and make notes. And if you mess up and you go over some words and it's like you can't read anymore, buy another Bible. Well, I can't afford another Bible. Believe God for a Bible. God loves to give Bibles away. Someone said this, I saw it just again. I told you sometime back, but God said it again, or someone said it again, said, and I think it was Jeremy Pearson's that said it, if you love to give, God will support your habit. Something like that. Yeah, God will support your habit. So here's what you can do for your family. And you can make up your own, but you could say, I speak blessings and favor on my family and on my loved ones. You say, Pastor, you don't know how hard that would be to get out of my mouth. No, it's not. Just open your mouth, start moving it, get the tongue going, make some sounds, oohs and ahs, practice, and say, I bless my family. I speak favor on my love. Cry if you have to. It'll get easier. It'll get easier. Well, if you do, you're speaking for God. If you do, you're really speaking the heart of God. All right, here's the other thing. Speaking blessings over yourself. You say, well, I don't really want anything for myself. If I need anything, God will give it to me. He already has. All he's waiting on you for is for you to speak it over yourself. So you can speak blessings on yourself. And every person, married couples, every individual ought to have a time where you speak blessings over yourself and blessings over your family. And you could say, based on what we read tonight, thank you, Lord, that you prosper me and I am in excellent health. You say, now come on, Pastor, I don't feel like I'm in excellent health. Someone said to me today, I feel this way about a certain thing. I said, you're emotionally upset. You're stressed. But you're going to tell me all of a sudden now because you're upset and you're stressed, everybody's feelings have changed. Because now you don't feel. What's the truth? Well, the truth is God said, I'm blessed. I'm highly favored. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. God said that. And I'd say it this way, just to be a little bit bold. You know, I'm not very good at that. I'd say, man, it'd have to be a fool to disagree with God. And they actually have a holiday for you. It's called April Fool's Day. And there's a scripture to support that. The Bible said there's that a man that is a fool that has said there is no God. Well, I'm just clowning with you about that. But the truth is, you can speak blessing over yourself. You ought to speak blessing over yourself. How often should I do that, Pastor? Well, I would say start with once a day. But then, when the enemy's coming to mess with you, go ahead and do it again. I thank you, Father, for your favor over me. I'm surrounded by favor. By the way, you know what favor means? Preferential treatment. Preferential treatment. I have supernatural favor. I'm surrounded by your favor, Lord. And there's times that it didn't feel like favor, but what's feelings got to do with it? I'm surrounded by your favor. Thank you for favor. Supernatural favor. I have supernatural results from a supernatural God. Amen. Did you get anything out of this tonight?